Hey, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is the stuff that we were made for here at WEAA and for the culture. Stuff that we were made for. Folks, we got a great show for you tonight. This is going to be an extended broadcast of For the Culture tonight. Yep, we're rolling from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then once the polls close at 8, we want you to join us and to tune in for the post-election analysis with yours truly, my sister Dr. K, Julius White. We're going to break down the numbers. We're going to talk about the candidates and what can we expect as we are expecting the emergence of our next congressional leader for the 7th district of for the state of Maryland that will be representing us in Congress. Yes, yes, yes. A lot of things to talk about with that tonight. So we're going to have that conversation. But before we get to that point of the discussion, we got to talk about some of the local issues. We want to talk about some of the national conversations. But more importantly, let me wish you a happy Tuesday, folks. And thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Happy Tuesday. Yeah. Happy Tuesday. Very excited. Very excited. Hopefully you are just as excited as I am. Also, make sure you check us out on Facebook as we're broadcasting live right there at Facebook, on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, F-A-R-A-J-I-I. And, of course, make sure you hashtag ForTheCulture889 and hashtag W-E-A-A. My goodness, so much to get to tonight. But I got to start off with this conversation. We have to talk about this, folks. We really do. We have to talk about what's going on with the school system. This piece of information may have just kind of zoomed by you. You probably didn't even pick it up on it. But we got to talk about it. We got to dig a little deeper. Did you know that Baltimore City public school students have missed almost 1.5 million hours of class time because of inadequate school facilities? Yeah, 1.5 million hours. So you say, Faraji, how many days is that? How many days is that, Faraji Muhammad? That's 221,000 school days. But let's look at this. Here's the context, folks. 221,000 school days over the past 5 years. Over the past 5 years. Now, here's the thing, because I know we can have a big discussion about this. But the fact that this is not just a black and white issue. There are many shades of gray to this discussion. Many shades of gray. There are many layers to this cake. Okay, that's what we're going to call this. We're going to call this the cake of confusion. Many layers. Many layers of this cake of confusion. We don't know what's going on. The unfortunate part is because there are inadequate facilities in Baltimore City where our children are going to school, then it causes us to ask the question, well, who is responsible for what and what is going to happen? Now that we can quantify this, the beautiful thing about reports, and I get it, some people feel like we always do reports, and yeah, we do. Baltimore City has this love for reports. We love audits. We love reports. We love to get things on paper to confirm what we already know, right? We know that. But the good thing also, let me just go on the pro side of it. The pro about a report is it gives you a clear picture of what we're looking at. When you have a cake of confusion, it can give you the recipe of how we got there. What made up this wonderful cake of confusion that we are all partaking in and eating and loving? This cake of confusion, the icing is so sweet. Oh, the layers are so tantalizing. The cake itself is so moist. But what happened? So I want us to have a conversation around this. Because if students have missed over 200,000 school days over the past 5 years, the question becomes, well, what can we expect for the next 5 years? Now, if this is, like, surprising to you, I would be surprised. I would be surprised. I'm not necessarily surprised. I'm glad that there is a number attached to this because they probably could have missed a lot more. I mean, they could have gone back over the past 10 years and seen, you know, more time has been missed. But this speaks volumes about where we are in this discussion as it relates to education in our city and across the state. So we're going to talk about this tonight, and of course, I'm going to open up the phone lines in a few moments to give you an opportunity to join in. But a lot of us already know that the school system has undergone some tremendous amount of trials, especially when it comes to the area of AC, air conditioning, and heating. We know that. We know that we've been experiencing that. We've been talking about that. We've been getting upset about that. We know that this stuff has been happening. Baltimore City has budgeted, according to the report, Baltimore City has budgeted more than $200 million last year for school buildings. Let's keep this in context. Now, some of our schools, I want us to make sure that we're clear. Some of these schools have been around for a very, very long time. That great school on the hill in East Baltimore, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. The one that just calls themselves City. That's a very old building. Very old building. Poly, very old building. These schools have been around for a long time. Lake Clifton, my gosh, how long has that school been sitting on that property over there, right? And then we can just kind of go down the list of how these schools have been. And I think if we want to be fair about this discussion, it's easy for us to blame somebody, right? It's very easy. But the condition of the schools is really due to neglect by many. It's not just down to one person. It really is about many administrations that for whatever reason or whatever cause that they had, they did not adequately invest. Now, here's the thing. The investment has to come from monies that is available, right? And then the money that is available, you can only invest money that is available based on money that you receive. Did you catch that? You can only invest money that's available based on the money that you receive. So if the school right now is dealing with a little bit over $1 billion budget, right? It's been kind of operating from that budget for a very, very long time, for at least 3-4 years or so. And the expenses continue to grow. But the thing is that the budget only is able to cover but so much. So each year these buildings are, it's like a car, folks. You know what it is. You drive it off the lot, and over time, it starts to get worn and torn, and it starts to deteriorate over time. Same thing with these school buildings. Same thing with these equipment and all of that. Now, am I making excuses? No. What I am doing is stating an actual fact. Yeah, that's all I'm doing. I'm trying to put this in context because, really, I'm tired of the finger-pointing. I'm tired of the blame game. And I just want to get things fixed. That's it. Can we? Okay. We got you. We know that this is a problem. We got you. Okay. But now can we get it fixed? We got a report about it. We got parents that have complained about it. We got students that have complained about it. I mean, there's no denying that people see that the facilities of Baltimore City Public Schools need some real renovation, restoration, and in some cases, removal. And some new stuff put in. We know this. We know this, right? But now we're starting to see the impact of it. And we can look at this data, going back to another pro of data and reports, we can look at this data and then start to understand why the educational experience of the children in Baltimore City, whether they're black, white, Latino, doesn't matter, the educational experience has become a somewhat lackluster experience for the students of Baltimore. It's not at the top quality. It's not top standard. Now we can see that. We can quantify that. We know that. And so this information for me lets me know that there's some serious work that needs to be done. More so than just work and say, okay, we're going to work. Like, serious investment that need to be made into the schools. If we cannot expect young people in this great city of Baltimore to go to school, to have the best quality educational experience, and then we want them to perform at the highest level, to be excited about being about their education, and then the facilities are worn and torn, the facilities are in lackluster shape, the facilities in some cases are just straight inadequate, they're broken down, antiquated, they're antiques, they need to be in somebody's house on a vase somewhere because they are just old. We can't expect that. It's unrealistic, folks. Absolutely unrealistic. So let's talk a little bit more about this. I want you to join me in this discussion, 410-319-8888. Let's talk about it, 410-319-8888. Because, again, in this cake of confusion, there are layers, folks. There are a lot of different bakers in the kitchen, a lot of different bakers. And a lot of these bakers, they're still present, but then you got some bakers who have left the scene, and unfortunately, the accountability measure for them is it's not there. So, you know, you can't be like, hey, going back to, you know, Dr. Alonzo and say, Dr. Alonzo, what happened here, sir? Well, why didn't you do A, B, and C? So we got to talk about that. 410-319-8888. All right, now, throughout tonight's broadcast, we're also, because it is election night, for the 7th Congressional District, we are going to be getting some live updates from our very own newsman, Mr. Julius White, and throughout the broadcast. So for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to cast your ballot for this very, very special election, we want you to join and do so to take part in your civic participation to go out to vote for your next congressperson, all right? We got a lot of folks that are on the ballot. 32 have filed for the seat that has been left by the late Elijah Cummings. And so tonight is going to be the night. Let's check in with my man right now, Mr. Julius White. Julius, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good, Faraji. How about yourself?
I'm good. This is election night, Julius. What have you been hearing? How are the lines? Give us some insights, some updates about this election as we are coming to the final few hours of the polls being open.
So, Faraji, I can say this like you're at a department store or at one of your favorite shopping stores. There is no line, no waiting at any of the polling places that I've been today. The last polling place I just left, which was the Langston Hughes Elementary School. I'm over at Bell Towers now, getting ready to go check in with them. At about 4:30, they only had about 64 people from 7 o'clock to about 4:30 to come through. So that's only grown by about 10 to 15 people since that time.
Mm-hmm.
I've just gotten off the phone with Mr. Armstead Jones. He's the director for the Baltimore City Board of Elections.
Yes, sir.
He says as of last hour, and standing about 5:11 this afternoon, there's been 27,034 people who have turned out to vote so far for this special election. He said that the expectations for today was low because this is the only thing that's on the ballot on this special election. The other thing that he brought to my attention was that there were people showing up at their wrong polling sites.
Mm.
There were people who were not qualified to vote in this election. There were people who were showing up at polling sites that were in the 2nd and 3rd Congressional District and not the 7th. But he says the people who live in the 7th District, they were notified by documents that were sent in the mail telling them. Another complaint he's been hearing, Mr. Armstrong Jones told me that people didn't know that today was a special election for the 7th Congressional District seat. That's been another issue. So people have been turning out. If they moved, if they got married, changed their name, they didn't update their voter card, and they're being given provisional ballots. People are turning down the provisional ballots. So I've seen that happen here at the polling site where I've been today.
But Julius, as far as I know, this is, has been the word has been that you can still register to vote and you cast a ballot at the same time, right?
Same day voter registration is still a thing to do. So it's just people believe that they don't believe in provisional ballots because they don't believe it'll be counted. All votes count one way or another. All votes do matter. Your vote, your voice, we all say that, it does matter. And so, you know, it's something when the chief of the election says he expected a low voter turnout. And for people who say they didn't know today was the special election for this district. Now, this is the special primary election, April 28th. Whoever wins today between the Democrats and Republicans, they will face off. That person who wins then will fill out the remaining 8-9 months that was left on Congressman Cummings' term. And then in November, there'll be the big race for persons to run to get the full 2-year term.
A lot of work, a lot of campaigning that still has to be done. Julius, we're going to, we're going to check in with back with you in a little bit. But you heard it here first, folks, that that it's only been a little bit over 27,000 folks that have casted their ballots for this special election for the 7th Congressional District. Interesting. We're going to see how this thing continues to play out. It is in the after, you know, work hours. So then that number may increase tremendously, or it may kind of stay at a stabilizing place. We will certainly keep our eyes on it. Julius, thank you so much for checking in. We'll be talking to you very soon, sir. All right, folks, let's go back to the phone lines. 410-319-8888. Let's talk about this fact of Baltimore City schools have missed almost 1.5 million hours of class time, 221,000 days. Let me just share with you very quickly, and then I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Did you know that only 17% of city schools are considered to be in good or excellent condition in Baltimore City, compared to 90% in Howard County and over 60% in Baltimore County? Did you know that? The crazy part is, this is the interesting part. Baltimore City, as we're like in the lower percentile of schools that are actually considered to be in good condition, we're in the upper percentile when it comes to Baltimore City and funding per student. Baltimore City is ranked third highest in total funding per student at the cost of $17,493. We get $12,223 from the state, $3,703 from the local government, and then we get an extra $1,482 in federal. So that's how we came up to that $17,493. We're third highest in total funding per student, but our schools are the lowest, are in that lowest percentile and when it comes to good or excellent conditions. 17%. We got a ton of schools in the city of Baltimore, a ton of school buildings. Let me just say that. They got a ton of school buildings, right? And you got to remember, the schools there, some in some buildings, it's like 2-3 schools in one building. But we have only 17% compared to 60% in Baltimore County, our neighboring jurisdiction, 90% in Howard County. It's no reason. Hey, I understand why people roll out to Columbia. 90%. Something has to be done. All right, let's go back to the line, see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Let me kick it off with Kalila. Kalila, thank you so much for checking in, man. What's your take on this, Kalila?
Always my pleasure, Farazi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. Talk to me, Kalila.
Let me say I just voted.
Fantastic.
For Jill Carter.
Okay.
I'm going to put Jill on the Hill. So I hope people go out and vote. You got 3 more hours.
All right.
So this may not be a popular opinion, Faraji. You know I've been on the front line of advocating for new school buildings since before the casino, as a part of the Transform Baltimore initiative with my students from Baltimore Freedom Academy We would be protesting. We were in Annapolis, all that good stuff. Our right. kids deserve the best. But I want to make sure we keep we have two parallel thoughts working. Our ancestors were able to get quality education in single-room schoolhouse. So we can't forget what the quality is happening inside of the school building in addition to the quality of the facility. And I think oftentimes we are consistently asking for money, and we have not placed a value on our children to demand both quality school buildings and quality education for our kids. Like, the baseline of what we expect is not very high, and that's why people are allowing our kids to enter these buildings that are in a deplorable condition. Even if we have $17,000 per pupil being third in the state, that's not an apples-to-apples comparison when the income and property values of people in Howard County, Montgomery County, and other jurisdictions is so high. Those families are supplementing beyond $17,000 per child for their children, mm-hmm. right? So, people throw out those numbers of how much is being spent per child in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near enough.
Right.
Nowhere near enough.
And so, and Khalilah,
they value on our kids.
So okay, we know, and really, I think we need to clarify this, that it's not coming out of the same pot. Like, this is two separate
Correct.
Sets. This is two separate funding sources, right?
That's
like,
right.
Like the
funding
the
schools is not the same as funding the building.
Right. Okay. So how now as you've been doing this work, Khalilah, for a long time in looking at this. Do we need to get back into a space of who's to blame, or should we get back into the space and just stay in a space of, okay, enough blaming, let's just fix it?
Absolutely. That's why I'm raising the point about the quality of education, because if my kids are out because of weather, it's going to be some education happening in my home. But you can't place that same expectation on people who are working two or three jobs and people who themselves have gone through poor schools.
Yeah.
So the community needs to wrap around and declare ownership of our schools, both for the quality of education and the quality of the facility. We
right.
have to do both.
But
because
the fact
of the matter is, we're not waiting for somebody to come and do this for us. We need to put boots on the ground and demand it.
But most of the spending for school funding comes from where, as far as you know, Khalilah?
In terms of the facility?
Yeah.
Comes from the state of Maryland.
Comes from the state.
Yep. And so when we talk to our Baltimore City Council members and they say, you know, it's not me. In this particular issue, there's a lot that Baltimore City elected officials can do, but that's the time to talk to our Baltimore City delegation.
Right. That's in session right now.
That's right.
Khalilah,
people shouldn't confuse the Kerwin Commission with facilities funding either. We need to do both.
Right. All right, well, you know what, Khalilah, I appreciate you so much for checking in. Thank you so much. Folks, I got to take my first break. When we come back, I got Simon, Al, Marguerite, Kevin, and Clarence. I want to hear for what you have to say. Folks, we're talking about Baltimore City schools. Students have missed over 200,000 days for inadequate facilities. What's your take on this? And this school funding has been a major political football here in the state of Maryland. But I think it's time for us to stop kicking this thing around. And let's start making our way into the end zone of victory for our students. We need to figure out, why is it that our students are missing so much time from school? And like Khalilah said, you know, it may not this is important, but at the same time, it shouldn't stop our children from learning. It's a very, very delicate situation to deal with. Join me in a conversation. Post your thoughts on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, F-A-R-A-J-I-I. And of course, join me in the conversation on air at 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. A whole lot is coming up in the second 30 of For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. We'll be right back. Peace. So welcome back to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, we have been talking about how Baltimore City public school students have missed almost 1.5 million hours of class time because of inadequate school facilities. This is coming out of a report that Johns Hopkins has put out, Johns Hopkins University, saying that about 221,000 school days have been missed over the past 5 years because the facilities in the Baltimore City schools is just not good, not up to par. It's not, and I think we know that, but it's good that we quantify this. This is just for 5 years, folks. So you can only imagine what it's like for the past 10 years. I'm giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts on this, 410-319-8888. Also, of course, we are continuing our election coverage tonight. This is an extended For the Culture, and of course, at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be having our post-election analysis with yours truly, Dr. K and Julius White, as we talk about everything from the votes to the candidates and the issues. So you can expect to hear that at the 8 o'clock hour here on on WEAA. And if you voted today, please just let us know you voted, but don't let us know who you voted for. Just tell us, just say, hey, Faraji, I voted. You don't have to tell us who you voted for, because guess what? We're going to know. We're going to know who you voted for, because if your candidate wins or doesn't win, we will know. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, hear what you got to say. Kevin from Baltimore, thank you for your patience. Kevin, what's your take?
Thanks for taking my call. I want to share something with the audience.
Yeah.
If you go to Baltimore County Public School website, they'll tell you that they educate 85,000 kids, students, and they'll tell you that their budget is $3.1 billion. If you go to Baltimore City Public School website, they'll tell you that they educate 85,000 kids, and their budget is $1.3 billion. It's just in my opinion. If you give me three times as much money, I could do a better job. That's who I am. And I want your audience to also consider something else. LeBron James did an excellent job. He opened up a school. And then after he opened up the school, he said, wait a minute. He has to open up the community. Because what's going on in the community is affecting these children in school.
Mm-hmm.
So LeBron James, I don't know what he did, but I think he, you know, bought some homes and he did something. But, you know, I heard some figures earlier how, you know, how much money Baltimore City kids are getting. I don't know where they get those. I heard about it. I just got to process that again, you know, when I was sitting down, crushing numbers. Because in Baltimore City, it's not just the education. It's a whole lot more going on with our students as opposed to just, you know, being educated. Education is extremely important, but the main challenge of getting back and forth to school, it's a challenge for our students. But thanks for allowing me to share.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin, for sharing that information. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from who we got, Marguerite from Baltimore. Marguerite, talk to me, man. What's your take on this?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just concerned about how that reporting, that number is coming out. Because if you tell me that they've missed 220,000 school days in 5 years, or is it counted per student? Is that how it's, because there's not 200,000 school days in 5 years. So I think a more accurate reflection is if there are 900 possible school days in 5 years,
mm-hmm.
how do I miss 221,000?
I think they're looking at per student.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, because when you start throwing numbers out there like that without saying what it is, it kind of gives a false impression, or it makes you say, you know, why am I listening to this? That's not even possible.
Right. That's a good point.
Give me
all the
numbers. Tell me I have 75,000 students, so if each one of those students times 5 years misses so many days. But I just think it gives a better reflection when you say there's 900 school days that they could have been there.
Right.
And they missed 200 of them.
Right, right, right. So what is it? So I'm happy that you brought that up, Marguerite, and I really thank you for that. What's your take on it? I mean, we're at that
My
place.
My take is that, you know, it's It's profoundly sad that they're missing days because of the conditions of the schools. I don't have a clue what the answer is. I know that there's something missing in all of that, what I'm hearing about Baltimore City schools. There's some piece in there that we haven't gotten to as to what that fix is, because somewhere something isn't right. I don't know what the answer is. I'm the product of Baltimore City Public Schools.
So am I.
I'm a graduate of Western High School.
Okay.
And I just think that there is some piece that we're missing that we need to plug in to fix it, because those buildings need to be replaced or repaired.
You know what? The last time I went to Western Marguerite, I was there for an event, and I just walked around just the facilities. And again, Western, a very prestigious school, well-known school, a school of great history and tradition, is falling apart.
Right? Absolutely.
It's falling apart.
And I'm a graduate from 1974.
And it probably hasn't changed that much, has it?
No.
There it is. Marguerite, yes, ma'am.
So there's something missing. I don't know where. There's some piece that as a whole we're missing. I don't know if it's being hidden deeply or what, as to why those fixes aren't being done, or it is why it has allowed to get there, and what we need to do to just put a fix in.
I hear you. Marguerite, thank you so much for checking in and giving us some, and providing us some, getting us more clarity about this issue. Let me hear from Clarence, then I got Joy, then Dave. Clarence, talk to me. What's your take, sir?
Hey, Faraji. Thanks for taking this call, and please hear me out. You know, because the lady before me, you know, she asked the question, there's something missing. No, there's nothing missing. The problem is we can't call out those responsible for the conditions of the school, number one, and the people that are determining the future of the Baltimore City school system. Now, when I say that, you can tie this back into the conversation you had yesterday. John Hopkins gave you a report about so many days, I forget exactly what the numbers were. They gave you a report on how many school days the children have missed. But John Hopkins is failing to give you a solution to the problem, whereas looking at it like these schools need to be immediately, not in the future, immediately starting to be replaced. And the whole structure of how we educate children by busing them around to different locations is changed. Now, ask the Baltimore City Development Commission. When you talked about all of those enterprise zones yesterday,
yep,
Nowhere in that conversation was anything about when we're talking about developers coming in and for profit and rebuilding communities, nowhere in that conversation did they say anything about rebuilding schools, redistricting configuring how children are going to cross this city into new buildings and making a functional educational system. Because the educational system in Baltimore City is just dysfunctional. That's a travesty that Dr. Sandra DeLisa can talk her head till she's blue in the face. She is just an overseer of structural racism that is filtered down into the educational system, because they're not going to invest any money in it until they decide what they want to build.
Hey, Clarence, thank you so much for checking in. Clarence's comment made me think about what we were talking about with the opportunity zones yesterday, folks. The fact of, are we going to move into a space where companies are going to start to kind of sponsor or start to invest in schools? Are schools going to be up for sale? That's what I'm getting to. Are we going to get into a space where Microsoft says, you know what, give me 10 schools of Baltimore City? And then Microsoft starts to invest that money into those 10 schools. And then you might have and says, oh, well, you know what? Another company can say, well, give me the other 10 schools. Are we going to get to that point? Because these schools need to be repaired. Students need to get as many hours as they can in the classroom. But if money is not coming through from the state, either the state government or federal government, and then certainly not enough coming through from the local government, then where is this extra source of money is going to come from to repair these schools? Is that the place that we're moving into? Let's go back to the phone lines. Joy, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Hi, Faraji.
Hi, Joy.
After Clarence, he said enough. I did go and vote. I voted for Mr. Fume, and
okay.
The lines were good. You could walk in and walk out.
Okay. We could walk in and walk out with voters. That's good to hear. Yeah. All right, Joy, so what's your take on it?
I'm hoping that Mr. Fume win because he knows what he's doing. He's been there before. And I just encourage everybody that has not went out to vote, go.
Yeah, we definitely need to vote.
Yes, ma'am. Right. It's no crowd, so you don't have to complain. And there's plenty of parking. Go vote.
And any thoughts about the school, Joy?
No. The school system is just all messed up. You know it, Faraji. And I think because they're African-American kids that's inside our city schools, don't nobody care.
All right. Thank you
that's
so much.
My take.
Thank you so much, Joy, for checking in. Dave, talk to me, sir. What's your take?
Hey, thanks for having me, Faraji.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so I think the school infrastructure, the physical infrastructure, the quality of the buildings, the HVAC systems not working, I think this is an interesting issue because it's so, like, no pun intended, black and white. Your schools are either suitable to host kids or they're not. And I think the one thing that we need to be talking about is auditing the contractors that are tasked with making sure that these school systems are, like, up and functioning properly. I think that is a concrete, immediate step that we can take, is to just call for an audit of the contractors, see if their expenses, the repairs that they said they're doing, match what's actually been done at the school, see what their material expenses are. Because in the past, in the city school systems, they've contractors absolutely lie about repairs that they've made they haven't actually made. So I think if we set a precedent by auditing the contractors tasked with repairing the schools and, you know, if need be, bringing fraud charges forth if they're lying and robbing the city taxpayers. It's ridiculous. The kids deserve better.
Yeah.
And I think that the contractors need to be held accountable with a full court press audit on their books, their material expenses, their driving logs. Just get it out there so we can see where this money's actually going.
Hey, Dave, do you think we're going to get into a space where companies, you know, whether it's a tech company, whether it's a science company, hey, we might need to put some of these buildings up for sale because we're just not getting the adequate funds to repair and to restore some of this equipment in some of these buildings? Do you think that's going to be a conversation?
I absolutely think it's going to be a conversation. I don't think that the political leanings of the city and Maryland as a state really favor aggressive charter school expansion or school privatization. I think Maryland's a pretty, to my understanding at least, a pretty strong state as far as, like, teachers' unions are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that politically, you know, selling off some of these schools to private, like, companies is going to be feasible. And I'm not upset about that. I think that schools should be in the domain of a civil accounting, like, accountable, just like civil body.
Right.
But I think it's time to exercise some of that accountability and hold the contractors to task, because this is a rare instance where we actually have one specific identifiable entity that is responsible for fixing the problem that we're all talking about right now. It's not anyone else's responsibility. So.
I agree. Hey, Dave, thank you so much, man. Good to hear from you. Thank you so much for checking in. Let me hear from Tessa. Tessa, thank you so much for checking in, ma'am. What's your take on this? This amount of time, so many hours lost in the classroom, where does that leave us and leave the students of Baltimore City Public Schools, Tessa?
I'm just going to kind of piggyback off of what Dr. K has been preaching for over a month now when it comes to these politicians. Do not tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you've already done.
Mm.
And until the residents of Baltimore City can realize that they need to stop voting for the same old politicians who have shown them that they are not going to make any changes or do anything to perform for their students, then you're not going to see a change. So, unfortunately, yes, all of these hours lost in the classroom are, it's terrible for the students. They're not getting a proper education. They're not being served by their community. But unfortunately, it's not going to change until the Baltimore City residents decide that they want to have a change. They want to vote for someone new who's going to show them that they can do something for them.
Right, right. When you look at the disparity, I'm going to share with you this number, Tessa. And just tell me if you're surprised or not. Baltimore County budgeted more than $200 million for this school buildings, while the city government put in about $11 million. That's it.
Hmm.
Like, the city government put in 11, Baltimore County's put $200 million. But Baltimore County has also enjoyed, and we got to say this, they've enjoyed some level of surplus. I mean, their tax base is growing because they have a larger population.
Mm-hmm.
They've enjoyed a growth in their schools because the student population has grown. I mean, there are some things, and I'm not, in some cases it might be apples and oranges, but when you look at it, I think this is a big conversation of equity more than anything, especially from the state level.
I completely agree, because, you know, unfortunately, the communities in the city are not being revitalized in a way that, you know, the average person can come in and purchase a home and can afford to live. So, unfortunately, you know, city schools aren't seeing that property tax, you know, and those who can afford those homes, they're putting their child in private schools, and that's, you know, that's not helping to, you know, serve the community. So, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That, you know, the county schools do have more students, more homes that, you know, supply those property taxes to put into the school. But again, if, like one of your other callers said, if you gave me X amount of dollars, I guarantee you I could figure out how to make it work and do something for these students.
I hear you.
So, again, the people in power are not doing what they're supposed to be doing with the funds. And until parents and residents start holding their politicians accountable, they're not going to see a change.
Well, you know what? This is the best time to have this conversation while our delegates are in Annapolis right now, Tessa. And if we are not making those calls, if we're not doing our job in level of civil participation beyond voting and really becoming a thorn in the side of our state senators, our delegates, then we're not doing enough. People think voting is enough. That's just the start of civic participation. Tessa, thank you so much for checking in. I truly appreciate your thoughts. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. And, of course, post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Brown from Sandtown out of Baltimore City. Sir Brown, what's your take on this?
Brown from Sandtown. How you doing, Faraji?
I'm good, Brown.
So Faraji, what is the lesson plan or curriculum for these new schools that is being built? Are these college prep schools?
You talking about these? So there were 14, according to the reports, Brown, 14 new schools have been built over the past 5 years. They can specialize in a lot of different areas. They can do techs. They can do trade work. I mean, it can kind of run the gamut on it. I think the city is moving, Brown, and I think you know it as a carpenter like yourself, as a contractor.
Right.
You know that the city is moving into a space where you have to have high-quality trades, technology, science, mathematics. That's where the city is going, environmental studies, things like of that nature. So I think that's where the schools are moving into as well.
Yeah, because, see, right here in West Baltimore, you have three new schools being built. I'm talking about within walking distance apart. You have Calverton,
right?
James Mosier,
right?
And you have Windsor Elementary that's being built. So, my concern was, what are you putting into these schools differently than what already have been done in the past?
Right.
To keep the children interested in something, to keep them in school.
Right, right. Well, and that's the thing. But let me ask you this. You're a contractor. We talked about opportunity zones yesterday. What does it have to take? Is it for these schools to be fixed? And, Brown, we were looking at some of the reports. They said that in some cases, in some of these schools, it literally would cost about $75 million to do the HVAC work, the AC work, I mean, the HVAC work, the upgrades, and a $75 million for one particular school. And you got a way more than one school in the city of Baltimore. $75 million. What needs to be done on the contracting side that may not be done?
Those numbers I would agree with. The average school is $50 million to build an average school. So if you just focusing on the HVA system, it's cheaper to tear the school down and build new.
Wow. And that's the school, if we look at it, they're saying that the to bring Polytech and Polytechnic Institute, Western High School, up to date with a new HVAC, windows, and other systems, $75 million. Two schools, big building, $75 million, more than double the amount of the money the city schools receive from the state in 1 year. If that is an indicator of how much it's going to cost, then that's going to be a huge problem, Brown. That's a huge problem. That's a lot of money. That's an expensive problem.
Expensive problem, and it's not going to get fixed. It's not going to get fixed. They need to tear it down and build new. It's cheaper.
Wow.
You'll make out cheaper building new.
Wow.
Than to try to repair that HVA system. It's not worth it.
It's like you taking in that old car. After a while, stop throwing money and you might as well get a new car.
Absolutely.
All right, Brown. Contracted in West Baltimore. Thank you so much for checking in, Brown. Let me get from who we have here. We have Nurse Will. Is that who we have? Nurse Will from Baltimore? Nurse Will?
Yes, Nurse Will,
talk to me, sir. What's your take on it?
Well, when Clarence spoke earlier, he hit that nail absolutely on the head. You spoke about private businesses and companies, and should they invest in the schools or so-called buy a school, so to speak.
Right.
When Under Armour received the tip that they received from the city of Baltimore, I immediately stated on your colleague's show that they should have been tasked with building three schools, elementary, middle, and high school, and also supplying them with the staffing at a higher rate than Baltimore City teachers receive, to show that something of that nature can work if you put the money into the teachers and smaller class sizes as well. When you look at institutions as University of Maryland right now is trying to recoup their $500,000 from the Healthy Holly scandal, you know, you don't hear about these companies investing money into the school systems within Baltimore. And on the same token, you have a Michael Bloomberg, who's probably invested close to $1 billion, if not $1 billion, into the Hopkins system. But how much has he invested into the Baltimore City school system? And I say that in order to see that kind of change, not just from the businesses, but from us as well, parents, citizens, we have to be involved as well. But those companies that come do business here have to invest in the city school system.
It sounds like what you're, it sounds like what you're proposing is a school bailout.
You know, you can call it what you like, but okay. Some folks will call it a tax.
Right.
Some other folks will call it your civic duty to do business in this town because of all the tax breaks most businesses get. Do you think it was an accident that the hotel business was forgotten to pay their water bill?
For 10 years?
Really? Do you really think that was an accident?
Well, for 10 years?
I'm all for our comptroller to be replaced because if nothing else, you should be able to count.
I mean, and for 10 notice, years?
When people started counting in the last couple, in the last few months, boy, they can really count and find a lot of money.
Hey, look, there's a few things that people can know about Baltimore. You know that we got crabs, you know we got the Ravens and the Orioles, and you know you got a water bill.
Absolutely.
I mean, seriously, for 10 years, you don't forget to pay your water bill.
But for Raji,
this is
why businesses have to pay their fair share up front.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Will, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for checking in. From Baltimore. Folks, I got to take my next break. When we come back, more of your thoughts. Mark, Cynthia, don't go away. We're going to get to you what you have to say. And, of course, we're going to get another update from our very own Julius White to give us some insight as to what we're seeing and what he's seeing out there on the streets as folks are trying to make their ways to the polls for the special election for Maryland's 7th Congressional District. We got 2 hours left, folks, before the polls are closed at 8 o'clock. So if you haven't had a chance to vote, then you want to make your way to your nearest polling site. Now, this is for those who live in the district. But if you haven't had a chance to vote, make sure that you do vote. At the 8 o'clock hour, after tonight's extended broadcast, we're going to have our post-election wrap-up with yours truly, my sister Dr. K, my colleague Julius White, and of course you, to be a part of the conversation about what we can expect from our next congressional leader. Hopefully within that 1 hour of 8 to 9, we'll have some indication of who is going to be taking the seat of the late Congressman Elijah Cummings. Look, stay riding with me, folks. A whole lot is coming up. In the second hour, we're going to continue to talk about schools. We got to talk about some breaking news that have come across the wire relating to Baltimore boxer Gervonta Tank Davis and a whole lot more. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.